and the papers are understandably wall-to-wall with coverage. So to help me get through them this morning, my panel in studio, Ellen Coyne, Head of Politics with Joe.ie. Good morning to you, Ellen.
Good morning.
Sheena Cahill is a former president of the Union of Students in Ireland. Good morning
Hello.
To you, Sheena. And Hugh O'Connell is political correspondent with Independent News and Media. Good morning to you, Hugh.
Good morning, Gavin.
Thank you very much for coming in to be with me this morning. Let's have a quick look at the front pages of the papers, and we cannot but start this morning with the Business Post. Red Sea poll, Sinn Féin level with Fianna Fáil as Fine Gael plummets. Sinn Féin is ahead of Fine Gael and level with Fianna Fall in the latest Business Post Red Sea poll. This is by Michael Brennan, the paper's political editor. The poll results are likely to cause panic in Fine Gael, which could be in danger of large seat losses and a return to opposition after 9 years in power. It's the first time ever that Sinn Féin has been on the highest vote share in a Red Sea poll. The party was only ever ahead of Fine Gael once before. The surge in support for Sinn Féin has continued as the campaign enters its final week. The party is up 5 points to 24%, attracting new voters who say that it's time for change and that they do not want the Fine Gael Fianna Fáil status quo to continue. On that note, the front page of the Sunday Independent power play as Sinn Féin at the gate. Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil are this weekend preparing a ground war to halt the onward march of Sinn Féin. With less than a week to polling day, Fianna Fáil leader Micheál Martin has told the Sunday Independent that he would not rule out entering into a confidence and supply arrangement with Fine Gael if Leo Varadkar's party was in opposition as the smaller of the two. It comes as the Red Sea poll published in today's Business Post recorded the surge in support for Sinn Féin heading into the final week of campaigning, with the party level with Fianna Fáil and overtaking Fine Gael for the first time. Perhaps on the note of that ground war, the front page of the Sunday Times this morning: Sinn Féin isn't sorry for the past, claims Martin. Fianna Fáil leader Micheál Martin has said Sinn Féin's ministerial appointment of Deirdre Hargey, who was in McGuinness's bar in Belfast on the night that Robert McCartney was murdered by IRA members, proves the party has no real contrition. McCartney was fatally stabbed and beaten outside the bar on the night of January the 30th in 2005. His murder remains unsolved. A huge omerta suddenly descended on everyone who was in that bar, Martin said. Clever Sinn Féin, how they operate. Hargey was dropped as a candidate at the time, suspended from the party temporarily, but now Mary Lou McDonald has appointed her the Communities Minister in Stormont. That's what really rankles with people, that there is no contrition there. And the piece goes on to explain Micheál Martin's myriad concerns around some people involved in Sinn Féin, some points that we might put to some of our panellists later on. Also on the front page of the Mail on Sunday, Sinn Féin poll rise spooks Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil. Open warfare broke out yesterday. Lots of warfare and battle terminology in the papers today. Open warfare broke out between Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil yesterday over who was more desperate to go into power with Sinn Féin. This according to John Lee and John Drennan. The Taoiseach distributed a video through social media featuring ministers pledging not to go into coalition with Sinn Féin. Yet when Leo Varadkar was asked on the canvas about the past enthusiasm of one of those ministers, Regina Doherty, he said that she had made the statement 2 or 3 years ago. And one other story that's on the front pages of some of the papers today, it is the story that's on the front page of the Irish Sun on Sunday and the Sunday Mirror. China virus at Dublin airport and lockdown on Irish plane. A man was taken off a plane with a suspected case of coronavirus at Dublin airport last night. One passenger told the Irish Sun, "He was sitting 2 rows behind me. He was very pale." And the Mirror says that a major medical response was put in place last night after the man on the flight to Dublin showed coronavirus symptoms. Medics in protective suits lined out awaiting the flight, which the Irish Sunday Mirror understood came in from Moscow and touched down at around 9 p.m. A passenger on board was displaying flu-like symptoms and escorted from the plane into an ambulance upon arriving. So that is our tour of the front pages of this morning's newspapers. As I said, Hugh O'Connell, Sheena Cahill and Ellen Coyne in studio. Before I come to them, let's play a little bit of audio, because inside the last couple of hours, Leo Varadkar, on Taoiseach and leader of Fine Gael, has been speaking to Andrew Marr of the BBC, and he's been talking about how difficult it might be to piece together a majority government after next week's election.
Well, it is looking like a very tight election. We're a bit behind, but everything is within the margin of error of 3%, so this election is all to play for. One thing that won't happen, you won't see a coalition involving my party and Sinn Féin. That's just not going to happen. Sinn Féin, in our view, is soft on crime and also high on tax. Have proposals to tax business, pensions, incomes, wealth, property, you name it, to the tune of 4 billion euros. And that would be enormously damaging for the Irish economy, for people's jobs and incomes and livelihoods and businesses. So that's definitely not going to happen. So the likelihood is actually going to be quite difficult to form a government over the next couple of months. And that means the current government
remains in place. Which leads me on to wonder whether trying to form a government in Dublin is in turn going to have an impact on the Brexit negotiations, because if Dublin is still trying to form a government for quite a while, then the UK will have nobody to really negotiate with, and certainly won't have a future long-term partner they can rely on in Dublin.
Well, the negotiations, of course, will take place between the UK and the EU, but we're very much plugged into the EU side. We're part of the Team 27, and we'll have a lot of influence in that regard. And you'll know the EU Trade Commissioner is an Irishman. I think it will be difficulty if we've trouble forming a government in Ireland. The reason why the election is happening now is I took the decision that now was the best time, that there was a window of opportunity to have an election here in Ireland. We'd have to have one anyway by spring of next year. I chose this as the window of opportunity to have an election and to have a new government in place by that crucial European Council meeting in March. So I know that's something the Irish public will reflect on when they go to the polls at the weekend, the need to have a stable government, because that's essential for our future in so many different ways.
Leo Varadkar speaking to Andrew Marr on the BBC a little earlier on. Ellen Coyne, he's ruling out coalition with Sinn Féin, but then acknowledges that it will be very difficult to work without them, which I suppose is as close as you're going to get to an admission from Leo Varadkar for now, that Sinn Féin are not just going to be a one-week wonder in the polls, that they're going to get elected with some pretty big numbers and that they're here to stay.
Absolutely, and I think everybody accepts that it is too late at this point when Fine Gael have gone so hard in it for Leo Varadkar to change his position on Sinn Féin. But that doesn't mean that it's electorally and politically a bad idea. I think if you look in at the Sunday Business Post poll, the percentage of people who switched to Sinn Féin, 39% said it was because they thought it was time for change, and another 39% said they don't want Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael. I would argue that's kind of the same thing. So you've almost 80% of people switching to Sinn Féin, rejecting the two main parties. And I just think, especially when you look at how popular Sinn Féin are among younger people, it would be right for voters to turn to Leo Varadkar and say, who do you think you are to basically create a two-tier electoral system where when people vote for your main rivals of Fianna Fáil, while you don't like it, you accept that those votes have to be considered when the next government is formed. But when possibly the same amount of people vote for Sinn Féin, you can decide that
a
party that comes third can decide that that vote is either fundamentally flawed or dangerous or just irrelevant. And it's the best thing ever for Sinn Féin because it buys into this idea, which I think Mary Lou was saying to Stephen O'Brien in the Sunday Times, that there's an establishment conspiracy to lock Sinn Féin out of power. And the longer they can proceed with this establishment conspiracy, the closer Sinn Féin get to becoming the establishment.
Sheena, do you think that with the week that it's going to be, and with, as it stands right now, Mary Lou McDonald not being included in the RT debate on Tuesday night, that it might actually only assist Sinn Féin in that regard? Because of course they'll say that, you know, we are at the top table, we demand to be included, but that it's actually seemed to work out for them pretty okay up till now, that if they don't see there being much difference between the other two parties, that they then do look like an alternative without having to say or do anything.
Ellen's absolutely right. I mean, the whole talk of being locked out, being excluded, that's absolutely playing into Sinn Féin's narrative at the minute, and it's working for them. I mean, their internet game is strong. I mean, if you to hark back to one of the best movies of all time, Mean Girls, why are you so obsessed with me? Seems to be, you know, the question that Sinn Féin are asking now of Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, because literally everything that they're talking about now is about Sinn Féin, and this election has become about Sinn Féin. And I think, you know, RT, you know, do have a question to answer about, you know, the last debate. Are they going to include Mary Lou? And, you know, people I know in Fianna Fáil, you know, in internal kind of discussion forums and everything, they're saying, and you can see it from Noel Rock as well, that they're kind of looking at this locked out kind of narrative and how it's working for Sinn Féin. And they're saying, actually, do you know what? We need to change tack here. You know, targeting Sinn Féin around the IRA, or targeting Sinn Féin saying that they shouldn't be part of the kind of Taoiseach debate or whatever is actually working in their favour. And maybe we should invite them because, you know, like Ellen has said, that kind of anti-establishment narrative that Sinn Féin's running on at the moment is one of their biggest, winning points, for particularly for young people. I'm seeing a lot of students' union officers around the country kind of like declaring their support, you know, for Sinn Féin and meeting with Mary Lou during the week. And I think that, you know, what we're going to see next week, I suppose, at the actual polls is, you know, what we're seeing, that is it a Mary Lou effect or is it a Mary Lou mirage? And are we going to see people vote for Sinn Féin the party, or are we going to actually see that in reality as electoral votes for candidates on the ground? And I think that's going to be an interesting question.
You, I think, possibly get the prize for the first ever Mean Girls reference on the show at 11 minutes
Thank
past
you very
nine.
Much, and I'll curtsy to that.
Unfortunately, when it comes to seats for Sinn Féin, the limit does exist. There's another Matthew gag for you there. Hugh O'Connell, you have one of the bylines on the front page of the Sunday Independent this morning where you're talking about the power play at Sinn Féin at the gate and some of the various coalitionology that's going on. I'm always inclined to take some of that with a little bit of a pinch of salt, because isn't it the case that the big three parties all need to have special ordeshna to approve any possible coalition deal? So it's not really within the gift of the party leadership to say that they're going to rule someone out.
It is and it isn't. I mean, I think that if the party leadership endorses a certain route to government, then normally you get the grassroots and the membership behind you. So, I mean, I accept that there's obviously a process that has to be gone through. But if a deal is worked out, whatever deal it is, and we'll get onto that in a second, it would pass the ordeshna of the respective parties. I suspect, though, if Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael are going to be true to their word and lock out Mary Lou McDonald and lock out Sinn Féin of coalition talks, then as we were writing today, and as I'm writing as well, the really only option is an alliance of some sort between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, whether that is a grand coalition, less likely, I think, or another confidence and supply deal in which Fianna Fáil, which I think will be the largest party next week, is underwritten by Fine Gael, whose support is hemorrhaging across the country, as I see it. I mean, you could see it in the by-elections. Their transfers were not good. They were not transfer-friendly. They were, in some instances, I mean, we saw Verona Murphy, for example,
slip
back.
Second and came third, yeah.
Yeah. So, that is going to be a huge problem for them next week. There are going to be some massive casualties in Fine Gael. There are going to be cabinet ministers losing their seats. And, I think that they've run a decent campaign. Leo Varadkar's had a decent campaign. They've majored on their strongest issue, which was Brexit, because that's the issue which has saw them climb in the polls over the last 2 years. Every time they've majored on Brexit, they've gone up in the polls.
They've spent a lot of the campaign, though, talking about Fianna Fáil and the risk of Fianna Fáil.
And
for every press release they've had about their own platform, they've had another one having a go at Fianna Fáil. But they haven't had much of a go until the last couple of days of Sinn Féin, which suggests that maybe they've completely missed who the real opposition is.
Well, I think there's a level of panic now emerging in Fine Gael, because they've actually, you'll see in the campaign, rather than, they knew they'd be going in behind in the campaign, but rather than gaining ground on Fianna Fáil, they've actually fallen backwards. And I think that it's just a reality that the tide has gone out for them, because they've been 10 years, 9 years in government. They've been nearly a decade in government, and it was always going to be I think when we look back at this, we'll just have to look at it and say, it was always going to be the case that Fine Gael were going to be out of government after this election, because people have had enough of Fine Gael. Even though the economy is going well, even though, they have objectively said, you can say they've done a very good job with Brexit over the last 2 years, people want a change of government, and that is, and they're worried about Fianna Fáil, because a lot of people remember the crash. It's not a distant memory at this stage, and so they're looking at alternatives. And obviously, Sinn Féin have come into that space, and you can see that they have hit on policies that people are interested in. The pension thing is big. I think it was big in the first week of the campaign, and they had the right idea, and they forced the other parties to basically adopt their policy. And the other thing is the rent freeze. It's a big issue, rents in this country. Big issue for the cohort of voters where they are surging at the moment, those people between the ages of 18 and 34. And the idea that you would freeze rents for 3 years and you would get money back in your pocket under a Sinn Féin government is very appealing to voters. I think it's a soft enough support. It's not a support that's graduating towards Sinn Féin forever, but they are going to pick up seats in this election, I think, that we wouldn't have expected them
to pick up. Not just the 18 to 34 year olds. It is also, according to the Red Sea poll this morning, it's also 35 to 40 to 54 year olds. And this is the point in the conversation where I'd usually point to Sheena and say, Sheena, you are the de facto youth spokesperson.
I'm still young, Gavin.
I think, no, but as it happens, I think I'm the oldest person of the four of us in the room. So I can't typecast any of you as being, the youth vote. But the one thing that strikes me as being really fascinating about this poll, Ellen, is that Sinn Féin are leading not only among the under 35s, but also, according to this, between 35 and 54s. And whatever you might have said previously about how younger people end up not voting, or you might wait them in but you don't know whether they'll really show up, the fact that this poll is going to be taken on a Saturday, which means people should have more time, but B, that those over 35 now appear to be chiming along with this sentiment that they really do want change.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of feel like this poll, which is like a bombshell, big chaotic energy off the front page of the Sunday Business Post today, is kind of been caused by the crash. Because if you think of those people who were kind of in their 30s, for a lot of their adult lifetime, Fine Gael have been in power, and they still very much associate Fianna Fáil with the crash and also see them as being basically the same. So Sinn Féin has emerged as that sort of alternative. And I wonder if one of the consequences of this, regardless if the poll ends up being correct, it's going to change the momentum of the last week, where where if you have young people who hate Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael and feel excited at the prospect of one of them not being in power for the first time since the foundation of the state, are they going to choose to not give their first preference to a party like the Greens or one of the socialist groupings and give it to Sinn Féin instead if they think that that's kind of their best hope? And I think that a lot of the narrative around Sinn Féin and their influence with young people has been a little bit misguided. I've heard a lot of people in Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael kind of blithely and I think kind of disrespectfully suggest that the only reason young people are voting Sinn Féin is because they don't remember or don't understand the Troubles or they were born after the Good Friday Agreement. I think, first of all, these people aren't voting on the basis of wanting a united Ireland by 2025. They want Eoin Óibrín in the Department of Housing. And I also think that while that's
stuff Louise O'Neill in Health.
And Louise O'Neill in Health and Pierce Doherty.
They might like Louise O'Neill in Health too, actually.
Louise O'Reilly. But also, like, while the Troubles and Good Friday Agreement stuff shouldn't be overstated, what I'm about to say shouldn't be overstated either, but I think that since 2016, the way that young people talk online about the UK and these sorts of memes of, you know,
I was only just thinking
Ireland,
about the Ireland Simpsons fans page.
The Ireland Simpsons fans page was taken by Sinn Féin as their strategy for communications. They've been using memes about the Brits being at it again and taking back the six for like 3 or 4 years. And I know that there's some bemusement in the Sinn Féin press office about how much Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael are spending on election ads because Sinn Féin's content is like organically created and shared for free. And I think that that's
Sinn Féin has spent the least on Facebook.
The least on Facebook ads. They don't need them.
Sheena, is there a sense though that that to some degree as well Sinn Féin is just eating the lunches of every other vaguely left-wing party, that we're probably going to see some pretty significant losses for Solidarity, People Before Profit, Labour are failing to make much of a breakthrough because Sinn Féin among that under 35 cohort have just become the catch-all Liberal Values Party?
Yeah, to be honest, coming into this, I thought it would have been the Greens. I thought the Greens would have been much higher up the agenda for young people, and particularly given the local election result. But unfortunately, you know, Eamon Ryan's kind of performance in last week's debate just wasn't what, you know, we wanted. Like, I was one of the people sitting at home kind of egging him on, being like, come on, Eamon, come on.
And get to the
like,
point.
wanting him to do well because he was like, he was our guy in the sense of like, we wanted the Green Party to kind of really gather up that momentum.
Well, do bear in mind, they're still at 7% really seen in this poll. They were at 8% last week. And when they did get into government with half a dozen seats back in 2007, they got less than 5% that time. So it still would be a very good day out for them.
It would be. And I think you're not wrong, though. I mean, Sinn Féin is, you know, very much placing themselves in the position of let's gather this family of the left and let's, you know, put forward a realistic proposal for an alternative government. And I think people find it an attractive proposal. And I think that might be something we see in the next week, growing momentum.
We shouldn't overstate the Sinn Féin surge as it is. I mean, you know, they were polling quite strongly in the 2016 campaign and they ended up coming in, I think, at 13.8%. So, and the other issue is they're only running 42 candidates across the country. So they might find, in fact, in some constituencies that they just aren't getting people elected because they don't have, you know, sufficient candidates running to have vote strategy and all this stuff. You know, you could see them.
And they're historically quite weak when it comes to west of the Shannon as
well. Absolutely, but there is a momentum there that would suggest that they're going to pick up seats, like that they will now hold two seats in Louth, where there's a bit of doubt about that. They'll definitely return two in Donegal. They might pick up a second in Cavan Monaghan. They'll definitely
Hang on to two in Dublin Midwest.
They might hold on to two in Dublin Midwest. They might pick up a seat in Dublin Bay South even. Chris Andrews is there. I hear he's doing very well on the ground and he didn't do too badly in 2016. And if the momentum is there, it could carry him over the line, particularly in a constituency where Eoin Murphy is perceived as being vulnerable. You know, Sinn Féin will do very well next week, I think, but you know, as to whether they will have a sufficient number of seats to kind of lead the next government, that's unlikely, I think. Fianna Fáil are probably going to be the largest party. The question is whether Fianna Fáil can get near to 60 seats or not, because if they can get to 60 seats, well, then there's an option for them to go in with the Greens, maybe Labour, maybe Independents. If they don't get to 60 seats, you know, it's on purely on the numbers. It is always a numbers game. You don't see how they can form a government, and then we go back to the idea of having to do something with Fine Gael.
We might tease out that whole question about how exactly a government might be formed. People on Twitter are wondering, by the way, the answer is I'm 33 years old and yes, I am the oldest person in the studio. We'll talk about coalitionology and exactly how we've come to the point that we are when we're back with the panel after this. Still joined in studio by Ellen Coyne, Sheena Cahill and Hugh O'Connell. There is, because of the rise of Sinn Féin, or maybe the preempting the rise of Sinn Féin, there's a lot of coverage in today's papers around some of the difficulties or the tough questions that Sinn Féin may find itself having to face in the coming days. Micheál Martin himself has raised some of them on the front page of the Sunday Times. But Hugh, Elaine Byrne has been writing pretty extensively today in the Business Post around some of the difficulties that Sinn Féin has encountered in the past, which are likely to be revisited again in the coming days. Do you want to talk us through that?
Yeah, it's something we were writing about in the Irish Independent as well this week. The whole role of Sinn Féin's Ord Cuirlia, its 39 member ruling executive, but there's actually, while those 39 members are elected, there's also a few other members, co-optees, who are the head of different departments in Sinn Féin. Now, look, that's not unusual, I guess, but I suppose we'd like to know a little bit more about how they make decisions. And, you know, for example, I was writing this week, it's something I've written about before. In 2015, the Sinn Féin Ord Cuirlia was warned that their structures for dealing with disciplinary issues were legally unsound, and they did nothing about this for about a year. Until they had their next Ord Eisg. And it's never really been explained as to why that was the case. Mm. Equally, you know, the party set up new disciplinary procedures in which they installed party officials who they have refused to identify because they say these are private individuals. And of course, we've had a lot of issues in Sinn Féin over the last few years, although less so in recent years under the leadership of Mary Lou MacDonald, of councillors quitting the party, claiming they've been bullied and ostracised and excluded from the organisation.
Mm. Two TDs who left for various reasons too.
So yeah. That's all without mentioning, obviously, some of the stuff, or a lot of the stuff rather, that's happened in Northern Ireland down the years, and indeed in the South. You pointed to what's on the front of the Sunday Times today. Micheál Martin talking about the murder of Robert McCartney and the information that people in Sinn Féin might have about that they have not provided. And those issues, I think, are going to be confront and centre of the campaign in the final days. I think you're going to find that Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil representatives are going to talk a lot about this, because they'll want to remind people, or rather inform those who weren't born or were too young at the time, of what they believe to be questions about Sinn Féin's handling of matters related to the Troubles.
Yeah,
you know, Mary Lou MacDonald, it should be said, has never distanced herself from Sinn Féin's past. She's never distanced herself from the IRA's campaign. You know, she took the leadership mantle of Sinn Féin in 2017 and declared, "Up the rebels, Chucky Arlaw," I think. Up the rebels, definitely.
Mm. She improvised the Chucky Arlaw at the end of the speech.
Yeah, so, I think that she's going to face more questions on that in the final days of the campaign. She said she believes Gerry Adams when he says that he was never in the IRA. There's a lot of people, obviously, who don't believe that. He does continue to deny that he was a member of the IRA. And although the likes of Gerry Adams and Martin Ferris, who has obviously served time in prison for IRA membership, are stepping off the pitch and retiring at this election, the questions, I think, about Sinn Féin and what goes on in Sinn Féin and how Sinn Féin has dealt with matters in the past are going to continue. Will be front and centre, I think, in the last week of the campaign.
The one counterpoint to what you've raised there, when you take the example of the murder of Robert McCartney and how many people claim to have been in the toilet and didn't see it all happen, obviously there is something disconcerting about so many people ostensibly being witnesses and all of them refusing to come forward. One would have to question whether there is any relevance to Sinn Féin in that just because someone who was in the bar now as a Sinn Féin minister, is it fair to say institutionally therefore that Sinn Féin has a problem with it just because someone who was there is a member of the party?
Well, I think it's fair to say that Sinn Féin has people in the party that have questions to answer.
But is that a question then for the party? I mean, every political everything
that goes on in the party is the responsibility ultimately of the party leadership. I mean, you know, let's take issues that have happened in Fine Gael in relation to internal disciplinary matters. They are the responsibility ultimately of the Fine Gael leader and the Taoiseach and of the party's national executive.
But are Sinn Féin held to a higher standard that way? Like, you know, if it shouldn't have really been a matter for Fine Gael that Maria Bailey filed what many people would seem to have been a fraudulent personal injuries case. But it seems to be a different case where if someone involved in Sinn Féin has something to answer, that suddenly the party is held to account for it when it wasn't.
I think
that
the party
decision
has to account for individuals that represent the party, and in this case, there are individuals who represent the party who have questions to answer.
Ellen Coyne, you're nodding at that.
Yeah, I think often Sinn Féin will make the argument that Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael tried to drag up things which happened during the Troubles. But one of the huge features of this campaign that Micheál Martin has really focused on is the stuff that came out during the RHI scandal in Sam McBride's book about a Fianna Fáil finance minister who was, I think,
Sinn Féin finance minister.
Sinn Féin finance minister in contact with a publicly unaccountable senior Republican figure. And that was like 2017?
That's Ted Howell, who's a very close advisor to Gerry Adams. Yes. And let's not forget as well, sorry to interrupt you, but there's another issue. I mean, Gerry Adams got into a van with Austin Stack and took him up to the border to meet a guy who told Austin Stack who murdered Brian Stack.
Mm.
And that happened like 4 or 5 years ago. So, you know, these individuals may be stepping away, but things have happened even in recent years, the Martin and Waylor stuff in 2017, that you're like, that's unusual. That's strange for any political party to operate in that manner. It's not to say they're not issues in Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil with disciplinary matters and the way they handle matters. I mean, Fine Gael are all over the place. They don't punish Catherine Noone, but they kick out a guy last week for putting up a few Facebook posts for his dad, Jude Perry, for his dad, a former Fine Gael minister, John Perry. But like this is stuff that will have to come out and have to be talked about and will be talked about, I think, in the final week of the campaign.
Sheena, how much of a factor in the final week of the campaign do you think it's likely to be?
Yeah, I think people are going we're going to find it difficult to ignore it, actually, because Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael are now, you know, on notice of around Sinn Féin, and this is going to be their key target. They're going to go after the so-called ghosts of the past of Sinn Féin, and I think
it's planning stations
that
in both of the two largest parties. Like they will be alarmed at this poll, and they will want to do everything they can to avoid having to answer the awkward question about why on earth are you not going to do a deal with Sinn Féin when they've got more than 20 seats.
Ellen, you were going to make a point there before you intervened. Did you get to finish what that was?
Sorry.
No, it's okay. No. That's very polite. I think that Sinn Féin and Fine Gael both know that the strong arguments that people like Micheál Martin are making when he says on the front page of the Sunday Times that there's a deep revulsion about the idea of facilitating them, I don't want to dismiss the concerns of those people because they're very real and very valid, but it's not actually enough to change. I don't think a lot of the electorate will actually be put off by Sinn Féin by it. And I think that we must know that Leo Varadkar knows it, because even this morning on Mar, he's not making the argument about Sinn Féin's history and its association with the IRA. He's trying to distance the party on the basis of its current policies.
Yeah.
And Sinn Féin is actually like, if you look at people from Sinn Féin on Twitter, they're making a joke about the shadowy figure stuff. And like when we put the stuff from Sam McBride's book to Mary Lou McDonald when she did an interview with Joe.ie, she kind of turned around and said, well, they're all the same, and was basically suggesting, as if Fianna Fáil was like the political wing of the construction industry, that if Sinn Féin is running stuff by senior Republicans, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael are running things by developers and landlords. Mm. And for some people, that must be enough of an equivalence to not actually put them up. Like, this isn't going to be brand new information.
Yeah.
In the last week of the campaign. People have known this about Sinn Féin for a long time.
We will have Matt Carthy, MEP, with us in studio in about 10 minutes' time, and I will put some of those questions about some of those figures in Sinn Féin headquarters to him. A couple of texts and tweets. Anya Rooney tweets in to say, as someone who falls into the 35 to 55 cohort, I am old enough to remember when the links between Sinn Féin and the IRA were obvious. They will always have their support, but I can't for the life of me believe anyone in that age group would change allegiance to Sinn Féin, which I suppose is one point, but nonetheless, the opinion poll does show they are the most popular among that cohort.
One of the things that Richard Colwell, I think, is writing in his analysis of he's from Red Sea, obviously, he's writing in the Business Post, is that some voters now, seeing the rise of Sinn Féin, might tactically vote to keep a Sinn Féin candidate out because they don't like Sinn Féin and they don't want them anywhere near government. And Jodie Corcoran in the Sunday Independent is saying that Fianna Fáil, in the last week of the campaign, should be appealing to people who want change to say, don't put Sinn Féin in. Trust us, lend us your vote, as Phil Hogan did with Fine Gael in 2011, to kind of, you know, look, trust us this time. We won't screw it up this time. We have changed as a party. Please give us your vote, because we don't think it's right that Sinn Féin gets into government. Look, it's an interesting argument to make. I'm not sure how much credibility it will hold, because a lot of people, I mean, you know, we talk about things that have gone on in Sinn Féin in 30 years ago, or questions that Sinn Féin have to answer about issues that things that happened 30 years ago, but like Fianna Fáil have more recent questions about their managing of the economy 10 years ago.
Sheena Cahill, I wanted to talk a little bit about how Fine Gael has managed to squander the significant lead that it had a couple of months ago. But actually, one of the things that I keep coming back to in my head is the example of the Twitter video yesterday where a succession of Fine Gael ministers it was like the old hit in the 90s. Yeah. various people ruling out very unequivocally ever going into pair with Sinn Féin. And I suppose one of the things that might speak to people is that Sinn Féin might think, or Fine Gael might think, they're talking to their own native home constituency when they're talking about that. But that if you are a passerby and you actually might like the cut of Sinn Féin's jib, and if Fine Gael are there saying, well, we're not going to go into power with them, then you might just go, right, well, I'll vote for someone else who will then. And that they actually realise that they're excluding more people than they're gaining by taking this Shinner bashing line on social media.
Yeah, look, like where I started was the obsession with Sinn Féin. I don't know if it's really, like, Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil think that they're playing to that really kind of always Fianna Fáil or always Fine Gael base, particularly in rural Ireland, that always vote along those party lines. But I think that with the changing, like just how people engage with politics now, and particularly, I mean, I think USI, which is the Union Students in Ireland, have registered like, 10,000, if not more, students in the last kind of 2 years. That cohort of students, don't vote now along party lines. Now, they might, particularly when they return to rural Ireland, be influenced by family factors and all that kind of stuff. But the reality is that, the traditional establishment parties attacking what seem and what has been put forward as the legitimate anti-establishment party of Sinn Féin, excluding them from the official debates and all of that, it's really working in their favour. And I think people, and a lot of young people, feel like they should be listened to. And talking about that, the discussion around Sinn Féin and the past and all that kind of stuff, they're demanding now that that Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil engage with their current policies, their current manifesto. And that is difficult to do because, of course, Micheál Martin is lumped in with Leo Varadkar for the last 9 years. But Mary Lou doesn't have a record in government to attack. And so her, her standing here is very, very different to the two other leaders. And I think it's going to be really interesting to see how that progresses in the next few days.
Ellen, just go back to your earlier point as well, that there is something of an attempt by the larger two parties to sort of relegate Sinn Féin or to write off its voters as being somehow less worthy of consideration when it comes to piecing the whole thing together. But it does suggest that perhaps the larger two parties are failing to understand what it is about Sinn Féin that has got people so attracted to them now among the younger cohort.
Yeah, which I think is an astonishing, like, they've all been blindsided by it. Like, we could see early on in this campaign how popular Sinn Féin was in the polls among people aged 18 to 34. When we had Micheál Martin in, we kind of put that question to him, what does Sinn Féin have that you don't have with young voters? And he wouldn't even engage with the premise of the question and suggested because Fianna Fáil had been successful in a by-election in Kilkenny around the time of marriage equality, they were popular. The people who were young then are probably owning homes now. So they just don't seem to get. And if I was in Fine Gael, I am definitely not an election strategist. The first thing I would do is stop putting out those mad videos on social media about
terrible
Sinn Féin.
Memes.
First of all, they're so memeable. And second of all, yes, there is a chance that somebody who kind of clutches their pearls and gets really stressed out about the idea of Sinn Féin government and wants to move country might see it. But if it's online, it's much higher a chance that someone aged between 18 and 34 will see it, feel like the two parties are the same and not respecting their vote, and either disenfranchise them or encourage them to turn out and give Sinn Féin a first preference.
I think there's going to be blood on the floor in Fine Gael after this election.
It's backfiring, yeah, big time.
But I think that more fundamentally, the reason that a lot of people in the parliamentary party of Fine Gael swayed towards Leo Varadkar was they thought he would win them more seats.
Yeah.
That is now evidently not going to happen, probably. In which case there's going to be serious questions about his leadership and there's going to be jockeying for position. And you can see Tánaiste de Simon Coveney is, he's had a decent campaign as well. There's a good piece in the Business Post today where everyone in Cork South Central is telling him he should have been leader.
My colleague Richard Chambers, who's been following Fine Gael around, keeps referring to Simon Coveney as the vote whisperer because he seems to have some sort of knack that Leo Varadkar doesn't.
He's definitely, I've seen him in action too on the campaign trail this last few weeks. He is definitely a more natural canvasser than Leo Varadkar. But more importantly, I think he has the support of the Fine Gael grassroots. He won the membership by 65% in 2017. And I think he is now best placed to succeed Leo Varadkar if Varadkar decides after the election that he needs to stand down, or what might also happen is the party decides that Leo Varadkar has to go, depending on what the result is.
It's quite something
it might be.
That a week out from a general election that it already is sort of being touted as something of a talking point for next
week.
Well,
I think it was always going to be the case in both parties. Whichever one didn't perform well, there was going to be serious questions for the leadership. And I think at the moment it's looking like it's going to be Leo Varadkar.
Sure. Anyway, this Sunday, drawing a slightly earlier line under the panel because we do need to make time for our next guest in studio. So a huge thank you to Sheena Cowell, former president of the Union of Students in Ireland, Hugh O'Connell, political correspondent with Independent News and Media, and Ellen Coyne, head of politics with Joe.ie.